This podcast is brought to you by the Institute for Building Technology and Safety, IBTS, a national nonprofit organization and trusted partner to public, nonprofit, and private clients. IBTS's work is guided by a board of directors with representatives from the Council of State Governments, the International City County Management Association, the National Association of Counties, the National Governors Association, and the National League of Cities. Thanks for tuning in. This is On Further Inspection with IBTS. I'm your host, Gabby Geraci, and today we're taking a special deep dive into the life story of IBTS, which was founded by two best friends, Shyam Chowdhury and Ashok Goswami. Visionaries with adventurous spirits, entrepreneurial mindsets, and a deep sense of servant leadership, they saw the need for a nonprofit that could merge the flexibility of the private sector with the accountability and trust required to provide essential services to governments and communities across the nation. We're honored to have Ashok with us today. As the current president of IBTS, Ashok will share his personal journey and insights into the organization's growth, evolution, and the exciting future ahead. In our last episode, Ashok shared how he and Shyam were working with the National Conference of States on Building Codes and Standards in Washington, D.C. When the organization transitioned out of operation, they decided to carry its mission forward by creating a nonprofit. Now let's return to Ashok as he picks up the story from there, walking us through the pivotal moments that led to the founding of IBTS.
During that period of time, we were working with the federal government quite a bit, Department of Housing and Urban Development. The original organization, National Conference of States, were fledging, and we had multiple months of notice that NCSBCS, as we knew it, is not going to exist.
Gotcha.
So that led for us to say, now what do we do? By that time, we were married, had our children, and we were established here. So we got in the coffee shop and say, what are the real things which we can do? And I mentioned to Shyam that when we go and talk to the government people, they mistrust contractor. They like to use the word beltway bandits, that all the consultants are in Washington, D.C., beltway system, and we need to create a very tight contracts and things, and they are going to ask for change orders and this and that, and they are all profit-driven and this and that.
That you recognized.
And then we will come to our office, and we were contractor at that time. We will exactly talk about those things. Let's somehow get this contract, then we will get our real money from the change orders. So there was a basic lack of real trust between the service provider, which was the contractors, and the government. Everyone wanted to do one upmanship. We can do that. The government could not live without contractors, but did not trust them. And the contractors did not specifically respect the government. They only wanted to say things which they wanted to hear, get the contract, and then do the change orders. I told Shyam, I said, this is not a very good functioning system.
Right. I mean, it's toxic. Yeah.
It is basically not a very good system. And once again, the college naivety, why don't we start something which combines both of them? And he said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, why don't we start a not-for-profit organization where the government persons are actually on our advisory board, and we provide the service with a definite mission that we will do well, which I have over a period of time, and at the same time, not make it excessively possessive. It's my thing, how much money I can do. It both can coexist. And then I said, well, if that's the case, how do we get the government people to say, well, we will be on your advisory board. So I went to National Governors Association, that Council of State Governments, National Association of County, because there's a different level of government.
Of course. And you really thought of players in each area of the government so that it would be comprehensive. You had a board that really understood government from every angle.
Right. That part I could figure it out because that was on a piece of paper. The part which probably helped the most, I actually thought I can pull it off.
You had it. You knew you could feel it.
No, I don't think it was once again the similar level of naivety. I'll go and tell them that it will work. So I said, So I actually met some people and told them about what I think is possible. And the first three who signed up were National Governors Association, Council of State Government, and National Association of Counties. They say, well, I told them, look, we will make sure that your prestige is never put into doubt. We will have you on our board. Plus, I will have your staff member as a liaison. So we will have, you know what we are doing. It's not something you have to see the paper. And they said, well, and it will not cost you because we will cover your cost. So it was simple. It was not a grand scheme, something which was so magnificently thought out and planned and things like that.
But it's beautiful in its simplicity. It didn't need to be complicated because the problem, I think the most difficult part was recognizing the issue, this, you know, trust and respect issue and finding a solution. After that, the solution seems very
easy to put together. Place, yeah. But I also am from India. Eastern people are goofy. And I also believe that human greed is a very strong drug. Mm-hmm. And people can get affected by that. And I thought that why don't we create permanent guardrails? If we do not own it, our mind will be more into function rather than on accumulation. So the thought of not-for-profit was also personal protection against our own potential greed.
It's beautiful. So, I love it.
It is true. I believe that if you do not create, whether your parents are your guardrail, your teachers are your guardrail, your faith is your guardrail, or your thinking is your guardrail, humans have a significant propensity to deviate. And being an engineer, I said, well, that has an easy solution. You create boundaries. And you can create boundaries which you cannot break. So you're doing it
for yourself as well as everyone involved in the company.
And you, even if there may be a desire to go off, you will not. Just like if you are, there may be drugs, but if you know that you are going to not do it, you have prepared yourself that human frailties do not take over. Then you are protecting against yourself.
Yeah.
So the not-for-profit had that goal also.
And you're also showing the government that, you know, you're putting your money where your mouth is. You're really serving the government. You're at their, you know, at their disposal, ready to serve, not thinking about profit. You're focused.
Not thinking about profit, but at the same time, I wasn't thinking about some kind of a sacrifices or being a saint. I am basically an engineer and a businessman. Mm-hmm. I rationalized within myself that a very good living can be created without becoming greedy. Not because it is a good thing, because I honestly believe that it is self-destructive. So fundamentally, you can call me.
It's perfect balance. You're balancing everything so that nobody loses here.
you can call me very selfish. So I was really, really looking myself against myself. So even I do not damage myself. So I
We all know what our weakness is. And that's one weakness that everybody has. So, you know, you're going to have to assume that it's something that anybody could fall into.
And so being an engineer, you think of a problem and say the solution should be permanent.
Should be reliable,
should be dependable, and creating an organization which I do not own is the best way not to own something. You just don't. Yeah. You create an institution.
Yeah.
So it's simple, but it wasn't some lofty, great idea or saintly ideas. It was knowing oneself.
Super smart. Oh my goodness. Yeah. And really innovative too. I think that something that should be mentioned here, because that wasn't, you know, every corner had an IBTS sort of structure. This was a unique, innovative formula to develop a nonprofit that was going to serve the government in a way that they could be trusted. IBTS could be trusted by the government and trusted by contractors and everybody, kind of that liaison, right? And serve as that bridge.
So they are not only told, they are part of our board, they are part of our decision making. Mm-hmm. And my goal was, just like I grew up in India, I had parents to guide me, other people to guide me. Right. These are people who are going to make sure that neither Sham nor I or the organization goes astray. So it was a downright very selfish approach.
And tell us a little bit about the work that IBTS started off doing. So on a regular day of work, IBTS, what services were you providing?
Well, we started with the manufactured home program, which on surface looked like, okay, they must be inspecting mobile homes and things like that. That's the outcome. It's like a story before the meals come before you. There are a lot of things which happen. There's a cook, there is a thing. So what we started looking into the whole life cycle of manufactured home, where the design start, where the interaction between the states start, how can one state trust the product which is coming from another state? They are putting their residences at risk without even knowing. It's like making a building and having no building inspector. But to create that infrastructure, that is where Sham and I added a lot of value to create it reliable. I honestly feel that anything which is good in life or reliable in life, it has a very simple test. If you don't think about it, then it's working. If you have to think about it a number of times, then you're worried that it may or may not.
Yeah.
And because of that, I had only one mission: how the potential buyer does not have to think about the home. They only think about how much money they can get, how much they can afford, but not whether or not it's going to fall on me
and burn
me or something of that nature. And to create that sense of reliability and trust is the whole, I think it is a very important part of any businesses. Nobody wants to be told what to do right, but people want to sell their product. The reliability of product makes people sometimes spend more money because they know that they can trust the product. And I had, with the active participation of Sham, that I'm going to make people believe I don't have to worry about, am I buying a junk or what can I afford? And I think that the biggest one achievement is to take this product to that level, where people do not have to worry about its safety. They only have to worry about economics and their life. Not about whether or not we are also taking a risk.
And that reminds me so much of the community work that we're doing now. You know, it's allowing people to live their lives. For example, some of the resilience work that we're doing across the country and in Puerto Rico and in the islands, in the Caribbean, you take the community and you take that fear, right, away from them, and they can actually concentrate on working hard, providing for their families, what they should be, you know, focused on, rather than that fear of, is my house going to survive through this? Is my community going to be ready when another storm hits? No, the idea is that you get through it pretty much unscathed and you rest in that. You have that fearless, right, attitude to life. That's, I mean, that really goes to show, at least in the work that we're doing now, that there's connection from the core of what you started with Shyam to now, perfect line. And it makes complete sense to how we've expanded.
That is how it expanded. So we thought when we were here, our office was in Harrington. I got to know Harrington was a small little village at that time and started expanding. Mm-hmm. So there were some contractors I knew. Every time they will come and they say, we go to the building code department, it takes so much time. It takes mm-hmm. so much time. It is really delaying our business. Then they say they will come and inspect and they do not come and we cannot pour, our concrete goes bad and this and that. I said, okay, now there is a problem for an engineer to solve. So yes. We went to the local Harrington building code department and he said, look, and this is what we can do. We have only 4 people and this and that. And if we go for budgets in government, it takes 6 months to get a position approved. By that time, that project is already done. I said, very simple answer. My phone number. And,
Call me up.
Are qualified people. And they looked at us, well, what do you mean? So we started this third-party system. That why don't we show you that what you do is very much doable. You just approve us to work on your behalf and we will charge and work within the same fee structure which you have. Plus you can keep the administrative fee out of it. That becomes our problem, not your budget problem. Mm-hmm. And I saw some excitement. So we started providing services to the town of Harrington.
Wow, you brought them relief. Yeah.
And they thought it was very good. And I did not know, but he knew the city of Fairfax people. So he told them, look, you are having a problem. I have a company in my town that will do it.
Everybody's starting to know your number at that point.
Right. Which I said, now whom do I give it? Because I hate working, so I gave it to Shyam. You take all these calls, but that's besides the point. But that is how it actually started there. And then City of Falls Church. Then we got approved by the Fairfax County to provide building code inspectors and things like that. And then to District of Columbia. Mm-hmm. That is how that word of mouth started, yeah. And we helped prepare a third party mechanism for DC government and these people that how they can actually use that mechanism to deal with the undulations of their business.
Yeah. Wow.
And at the same time, this the IBTS started in 2002 as in its current in an office form. In 2007, there was Katrina, which hit Louisiana. And all of a sudden, they found out they did not have enough building code inspectors and course, people yeah. like that. And they did not have the mechanisms to deal with those destruction. And somebody had heard that there are people who do things like that. So we got called into state of Louisiana to help 13 parishes set up their building code departments and things like that and get the construction back in order simply because the various businesses were getting ready to leave. They could not get their own insurance because they could not get their buildings inspected or certified. Nobody wants inspections, wow. but they want reliability, their own protection. So they said, well, unless you have that, we cannot build it here. We are going to spend $100 million and we cannot get insurance because you do not have a building code department. We cannot live there. So nobody invites building code people. They invite people who can tell somebody it's reliable. You can invest in it. So I feel that building code inspections are actually an integral part of a business, not because we inspect and find faults, because we create a reliability and trust. Mm-hmm. That's the outcome, not the inspection. The inspection is just a mean. So our name became pretty known into Louisiana. And then we heard that there is a new city there called City of Central. Mm-hmm. And they do not want government. They want some private people to run that. So I said, well, even though we are not
politicians
or city types, but city, like any other organism, has steps. So I told Sham, we know how one home works. We know how 10 home works. In city, it seems to have 5,000 of them. It's a magnitude, not a new problem. It just, you connect
it's
things.
It's just scaling it, yeah.
And handling it. So it's actually an engineering solution, not a city management solution. Mm-hmm. So we told them that we can do it. Mm-hmm. And what we told them, because we are not for profit, we will tell them that if at the end of the year, you can look at our book, if our profit or delta is more than 7%, we will refund the money. They had never heard contractor telling them that if your cost is less, we will give your money back. And the very first year, we gave them money back. The second year, we gave them money back. And the third year, they said, we don't want our money back. We want you to do more services with that. Because that is what it is.
Wow. That's awesome. Wow. And we're still there. Look at us.
We are still there.
And that honesty will always pay, right? It will always keep you employed if people can find you trustworthy and reliable.
I believe so. We have government right on our board. Mm-hmm. So how can we be that separate from them?
Of course.
I have learned a lot by having actual government people on the board. They have a very distinct responsibility, mm-hmm. and sometimes not all the means and proficiency. So that is where the idea came in. Why don't we combine like a Arnold Palmer, government credibility and private sector flexibility? Mm-hmm. If you add those things together, it creates a different formula. So it may look like creative to you guys, but to us, it looked like a simple thing. That is what needs to be done.
You found really a solution that is applicable, and not just in IBTS, but I think that people will find that they can apply it to any venture. I wanted to touch upon the services that we now provide, because we've grown a lot since 2007, even. We've branched out to so many different service lines. What do you see as the future? What goals do you see for IBTS or continuing to provide certain services, expanding?
My belief is, whether it is business, product, family, or whatever, everybody is looking for consistent and reliability. So it does, to me, there is a limitless opportunity. It is only our own limitations and time and energies which make us do that. Every line of business we have went in has a very, just like every necklace has a string, you can change the diamonds or whatever you want to change, but there is a something which is holding up. And something that holding up is, think of people you are serving, think of yourself also, don't be greedy. It will all work out. And resiliency is another thing. The weather is changing. Life is becoming complicated. So we come up and say, what can be done now to reduce the damage? We cannot eliminate the damage.
Right.
But we can create protections, just like having a 501c3 is a protection against greed. Our inspections and things are protection against sloppy work and creating a danger. So everything, you kind of look at it, what can you eliminate or reduce? If people do not have to worry about those things, you have arrived. If you are worrying about it every day, that means a lot more work needs to be done.
Yeah. So
I do not believe that there is a limit to where we can go, because people do worry about a lot of things, and we are in the business of eliminating worries.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Ashok. What a pleasure it's been to talk to you today. To hear this wonderful story, I'm taking so much away from this. And I just wanted to thank you for the opportunity to talk with you today. Thank you for sharing.
Hearing from you, I feel fulfilled that it is actually a wonderful story. To me, it looks like it's just a thing. But if it is a wonderful story, I'm very glad.
It is. Thank you so much.
And with that, we've concluded our two-part Founders Podcast. It has been an incredible journey of adventure, friendship, and innovation. A heartfelt thank you to Ashok for sharing his enthusiasm and his time. We're deeply grateful for the dedication, the determination, and the vision that you and Sham brought to building IBTS. You've been listening to On Further Inspection with IBTS. Thanks for tuning in.